take my hand and come with me, because you look so fine that I really want to make you mine.
We kick off hour number three here live from the Mountain View Chevy Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. They're your Silverado truck champions. And they got great deals on the Chevy Silverado right now. I-24 downtown Chattanooga is where they're located. And online, it's mtnviewchevy.com. That's mtnviewchevy.com. Search the inventory. Give them a call if you're looking for something specific. If you're in the market for a Chevy, it's got to be at Mountain View Chevy, home of the low price promise, where they'll meet or beat any advertised price for you right there in Chattanooga. So if you're in that area, definitely shop them. If you are within the surrounding areas like we are here in Knoxville, it's worth checking out the pricing, because they're not going to be beat on price. You can get the exact vehicle you want at Mountain View Chevy, and they will make it happen. Give them a shout and let them know you heard about them right here on Fox Sports Knoxville. We've been talking a lot of college basketball today. Pete Thamel's piece came out where his sources are telling him that this FBI probe is going to be a big, big hit on college basketball. His title, sources, College Hoops Corruption Case, poised to take down Hall of Fame coaches, top programs, lottery picks.
Lottery picks. We are safe.
All good here at Tennessee. We don't have a Hall of Fame coach. We're not a top program, and we have no lottery picks.
Will Rick Barnes eventually be in the Hall of Fame?
No. Not unless he makes a Final Four.
He did. He made one.
Okay, not unless he
makes another one.
Makes the national final. I don't think. I don't know. I haven't studied it enough.
That's the thing. I don't know how much you have to do to make it at that level.
Looking at the list, I don't think so.
Fair enough.
I don't. Everybody. I don't know. Most of these guys are championship coaches. I mean, these are the ones that I recognize. You know, Izzo, Calipari, Gary Williams at Maryland. He won a national title. Nolan Richardson was inducted in 2014.
Well, he has to make it, of course. Yeah,
he won a
Nolan
national title.
Freaking awesome.
Yeah, I mean, they beat.
God, I loved him.
His Arkansas team's the one that beat the Grant Hill.
Did you ever watch that? I think it was either a 30 for 30 or SEC storied on Nolan Richardson. It was absolutely awesome.
I think I saw it.
It was awesome. Watched it last week, I think.
40 minutes of hell, man. He was.
They ran him out of Arkansas, too, though.
It's true.
He got busted for being difficult.
Jerry Tarkanian, he won the 90 national championship with UNLV. Rick Pitino. I mean, I know Sylvia Hatchell, women's coach, she won a national title.
North Carolina, right? Is that where she's from?
Yeah. She coached under Pat Summitt. She coached the Tennessee JV team.
I think everybody coached under Pat at some point. Like, basically everybody who's any good anymore coached under Pat. It's just kind of the way it goes.
There's not many people on here that didn't win some kind of national title and this includes all coaches. So, like, Bob Hurley's in it, the high school coach, Bobby's dad. I think maybe if Rick Barnes were to make a Final Four with Tennessee, maybe because it's different stops, and you can say two Final Fours at two different stops, maybe. I don't know. But there's not many people on here that get kind of the benefit of the doubt for winning at a high level at different places. Like, they're all championship. Boeheim, Calhoun, Oriema. I mean, I don't see any men's coaches on here that didn't win a national title. Lute Olson, Larry Brown, Mike Krzyzewski. That's all the way back to 2001. And, of course, I skipped over some Division II and Division III, but all of those guys won national titles, too.
All right.
I think the next question is do we care? Like, if the product's not going to be as good, and it definitely wouldn't be in the short term if you had to revamp this whole thing. I don't know. I mean, maybe if you had a bunch of really smart, wealthy people that are making a lot of money on this thing right now say, hey, I'd rather fix this and do it the right way. Let's come up with let's tear it all down and redo it. That's not going to happen, though.
Like,
you're not going to have enough
now,
people.
Though, is the train too far along the tracks? Like, at this point, is there any way to stop it without just completely crashing this thing? Is there any way to reroute the current heading of the NCAA and of college sports in general? Like, it just seems like we're all kind of delaying the inevitable here every time something like this comes up. But maybe it can work that way. Maybe it's just kind of like if you just keep keeping everybody quiet, maybe this thing can roll on for another decade or two. I don't know. And I don't know if that makes the most sense ultimately. If you change it so much that all of these schools aren't making the crazy money that they're making, then they're just going to stop doing it. Like, it has to make people money to continue to do it. That's not how it started, but to get this big, it cannot continue unless a bunch of people continue to make crazy, crazy money. Like, NCAA basketball will not look like this if CBS can't make millions and millions of dollars airing the tournament. It will not look like this if Duke, if Kentucky, if Tennessee, if Auburn, if Alabama, if all of these places can't make millions and millions and millions of dollars by having these games, then it will cease to exist. So how do you do that? How do you fix it without ruining it? And I don't know the answer to that question. Like, it's a real easy thing to say, oh yeah, pay the players. That sounds good. It's not practical. Like, it requires a lot of nuanced thought because, as Davey mentioned earlier, the second you pay basketball players or football players, then all the other students say, well, wait a minute. we're the same as them. They just make more money than us. But that's not the point of, like, Title IX. Like, capitalism is you make more money, you get more stuff.
Like, right, but this isn't capitalism.
No.
It's not a business.
No, it can't because they're amateurs.
Right.
So that's like.
So what are we redefining? That'd be the question.
I don't know.
Yep.
Because how can you call, you know, how can you call football players employees but not call softball players employees? How can you call basketball players employees but not track and field employees? I don't know. I mean, unless you just say no, you make money, you get more. So then, but then it's like, well, why doesn't women's basketball make money? How can we fix it? I mean, it's just one big rabbit hole that you just continue to spiral down until eventually there's going to be lawsuits, there's going to be this, that, and the other, blah, 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 blah.
And these people can't agree on anything.
No.
Like if you get the commissioners together of the Power Five conferences, you have five different opinions. So there's no way you're going to get people to completely rewrite the rules.
I mean,
you could go
even
could go
schools into, within the conferences, man. Like,
I know.
Do you think Vanderbilt and Tennessee are going to have the same ideals as far as what football looks like at their school?
Not a bit.
Do you think Alabama and Kentucky are going to have the same ideas as far as what football should look like in the SEC as far as paying players and recruiting? Absolutely not.
No, I mean, in a perfect world, you'd have one system where it's like. If you're trying to fix college basketball, this summer you'd have like some power organization or a group of representatives from all the people that matter, which would be impossible, but just hypothetically, and you'd say, okay, if you've cheated before, everyone's forgiven. In the for 2018, 2019 college basketball, this is the way it looks like, and you're only going to get punished if you cheat after this date. And here's the new system, and if you cheat, big time penalties, but everybody's forgiven. It was a great run under the old system, but the FBI is on to us now. The gravy,
gotta change it up.
Gotta change it up.
Yeah.
Gravy train's gonna end. So here's the new system. Here it is. Don't you guys love it? But that can't happen.
No.
You're not gonna get people to agree on something. And then there may not even be a way to even do it. Especially not with all the I mean, these are government institutions.
Mm-hmm.
They're schools. They're not. I don't know.
I don't know how you separate school from the sport. Like, at this point, I just don't think you can. Otherwise, because it is the collegiate tie to these teams that makes them so popular.
Right.
It's because I can say I went to Tennessee. These people represent me. It becomes pro sports at that point, which does not have quite the same draw, because why would I need two pro football teams in my – or more? Like, does Vanderbilt need a semi-pro football team in Nashville with the Titans, with Tennessee here? With Memphis? The school tie is important, but how do you have Like, how can you fix it with and maintain both in their current form? I don't know. Because the second you start paying the athletes, like, everything changes about college sports at that point. Everything changes. The way people feel about it, the way people watch it, the way, I mean, everything is just completely different. It loses what it's had for so, so long. Maybe that's a good thing, but I think initially it's going to be met with a, nah, I don't think I like this as much anymore. And I don't know if they're willing to risk that. And they can't just shut it down. They can't just say, yeah, you know what, college sports are dumb. Doesn't make a lot of sense. I really don't know the answer to this. This is a mess.
Davey asked the question, you know, what would it take for Rick Barnes to get into the college basketball Hall of Fame? And Marwin asked you, Houston, on Twitter, is Coach Barnes the best coach to never win a national championship? I would kind of rephrase it and say, is Coach Barnes the most accomplished coach to never win a national championship? I'm sure there are others out there. We'll hit that on the flip side briefly and get into some other topics as we roll on here. Hour number three, Tennessee obviously got a big game coming up. We'll look at SEC basketball this weekend and bounce around a bit as we go through the program here in the final hour of three. It's a good question by Marlon. Where does Barnes stack up with coaches who haven't won a national title yet? A couple that we kind of came across over the break. Mark Few, Gonzaga, in the national title game last year. I know he's only done it at one stop, but he took a program that was just kind of a regular mid-major and now has turned him into a powerhouse.
Doesn't he have the winningest record in college basketball among active coaches?
Maybe. He's 526-117. That's almost 82%. And obviously, I mean, that's a little... I don't know how you balance that being skewed because his competition's softer, or do you give him credit because he elevated his program above all the competition they play? I mean, obviously, you could debate that a lot. He's got the one Final Four from last year. Davey with a good suggestion. Bob Huggins, he's gone to two Final Fours, 1992 with Cincinnati, and then 2010 with West Virginia. I think you probably get a little more credit for doing it a couple different places. And then Lambeau tweeted in Brad Stevens in that conversation. Maybe, obviously, he's not in college basketball anymore, but, you know, made it to the final game, one or two buckets away from, or, you know, one half-court shot from beating Duke for the championship. So some other options out there, but Rick Barnes, obviously a long, successful career, college basketball, kind of rebuilding a few different stops at Providence, Clemson, and obviously a long stint at Texas. I think his legacy will be pretty good if he can get Tennessee, you know, to those kind of those heights he's brought other teams along the way.
How much longer do we think Barnes has?
Three seasons?
I feel like, yeah.
I mean, I kind of expected that when he came in, I thought he was going to be about a five-year guy.
So three more would be six. Tennessee, he's currently 63 years old. Is he coached at least 70?
I don't know. 70 seems up there.
70?
He's 63?
He's 63.
I'd say three more makes sense. 65, 66, call it a...
Yeah.
Call it a day. I mean, if it's anything like any, you know, all the other UT people, if he retires from here, he'll have a nice job in the administration very quickly once he's done. I'm actually okay with that. I definitely think that regardless of, you know, when, by the time Barnes hangs it up, we'll be in a much better place than we were when he got here. So that's promising. I don't know. Like, I've wondered this often, like, what's Rick Barnes' kind of, like, ceiling here? I mean, the way college basketball looks this year, I'd say his ceiling is pretty high. He's done it fairly quickly without a lot of, you know, crazy recruiting success. I would imagine that a season like this, especially with all the swirling turmoil around the game, only helps a guy like Rick Barnes, who seemingly has done it the right way to this point. Tennessee, I think, is more attractive and hopefully, you know, heading into the postseason and afterwards, is more attractive now than they have been in quite some time. to prospective student athletes. So I don't know. I think his potential is pretty high. I don't know about a Final Four. I mean, that would be obviously outrageously great. Tennessee's never done that, but I don't know. The college basketball, the landscape, especially with the stuff going on in the FBI, is changing very, very quickly. I don't know. I think the sky's the limit right now under Rick Barnes, because I think that regardless of what happens in the next year or two, Tennessee's going to be safe.
Well, and we led the show with the parity in college basketball right now.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like,
so that,
hell, Tennessee can make a Final Four this year. I don't know that I'd be all that surprised. I mean, I would, but...
I mean, hell, South Carolina did it last year.
I know, yeah. So it's...
It was the same type of thing. I mean, they had a couple players that were difference makers. I mean, they had kind of their Grant Williams, and then they all just kind of played their best basketball in a two-week stretch. So... I don't know that it really increases your odds that there's no killer teams like in your, the brackets aren't going to come out and go, yeah, well, there's no way we're going to get by that team.
Yeah, I mean, it would surprise me that Tennessee makes it, because they don't make it ever. But there's no team that Tennessee could beat to make a Final Four where I'd say, I didn't think we had any chance in the world of beating that team. But then again, I could also see us losing tomorrow to Georgia. So I don't.
So it doesn't. What I was trying to put is, it doesn't increase your odds to beat any one team, but it does increase your odds to make that type of run, because there's not that huge like wall where you feel like there's no way you can get past certain teams in your bracket.
Right. Thoughts on the game tomorrow?
It's going to be. It's going to be a fun ride down the stretch. This is another take-care-of-business game for Tennessee. It is on the road. They struggled mightily with Alabama last time they were on the road. I have no idea how this game's going to go. I feel like Tennessee is going to make it a point to play with more effort than they did at Alabama. I feel like this is because the next road game after, they're going to they're going to play really hard on the defensive end. It'll probably turn into kind of a grinded-out game a little bit. But I have no idea how to make a pick in this game, because Georgia's been so up and down. I mean, they've only won 3 games out of their last 11. They're 3-8 in their last 11 games.
But they did just beat Florida at Florida.
But they just won at Florida, 72-69.
This is the SEC this year. This is an accurate description of the SEC.
They lost on the road at Vanderbilt by almost 20. Then they had to play Auburn.
How have they played at home?
They lost to Auburn at home by double digits. They lost to Arkansas at home by 3. They beat Florida at home by 12. They lost to South Carolina at home. They beat Alabama at home. I don't know. That's
they beat Alabama at home and lost to South Carolina?
Yep. By 7.
I got nothing. I'm completely out. I have no. I don't want to even predict this weekend's game.
It's a mess.
We should
isn't it?
Win. We probably will win, but there's also a pretty good chance they lose.
We should. We will. Pretty good chance the other way. I know.
SEC basketball fever. Catch it. I mean, this is our conference. This is what this year looks like. I mean, Kentucky was picked first overall in the league, right? In the preseason, was Kentucky not number one? And they're 8th now? I mean, no one knows. The SEC is completely turned upside down. Which is it's a great year for Tennessee to be, you know, pretty good, because I guess there's still a chance Auburn can drop 2 and you tie for the division or the league title if you can win out. I don't think winning out's impossible for this team. I think obviously Georgia's beatable, but you could also lose that game. Florida next week at home, very beatable, but you could also lose. I mean, like, that's just the SEC. I wish I had some type of, you know, great algorithm that could predict this weekend's game. Oh, yeah, well, because Georgia only scored, whatever. Like, this is college basketball this year. It's not even just Tennessee or the SEC. Everything just doesn't make sense, especially right now. It seems like the further along we get in this season, the less we seem to know. Oh, yeah, Purdue and Villanova, locks, and then they lose. They've lost a couple now in just the recent week or two. I got nothing.
The Eye on the SEC is brought to you by iXL, Family Eye Care and Vision Rehabilitation. right here in Knoxville, one of our newer sponsors, and we really appreciate them coming on board. Located at 715 Callahan Road, and you can look at all the details online at iexcelltn.com. That's E-Y-E, of course, iexcelltn.com. Vision is more than just your prescription for glasses or contacts. And Dr. Gilliland and Carasone, they specialize in low vision and vision therapy, along with all your general optometry needs. It's iExcel, and they're the sponsor of our Eye on the SEC. Big game tomorrow on CBS, 2 o'clock, Alabama at Kentucky. We had a caller mention it earlier. Like, Kentucky's stretch down, or games down the stretch here are brutal.
Tough. Like, they might win one or two, maybe, of their last five.
Is it possible they fall all the way out of the tournament?
Yeah. I mean
they're 6-7 right now.
Their record is an NIT record.
They have, what, 18 wins currently?
17-9, 6-7 in the league. So, I mean, if they get, like, three games below 500 in SEC play by the end of the season, then lose out first round, or, you know, their first game,
yeah,
whatever it is. I mean, I'd say they're on the top end of the bubble right now, right? Like, that's, you can't be under 500 and feel safe.
No.
Even though the league's better. I mean, Missouri's 8-5. And of course, they've been playing really well. They also play at 2 o'clock tomorrow on the road against LSU. So you've got Missouri, LSU at 2, and then Alabama and Kentucky also at 2. The chance for Tennessee to catch Auburn, that seems to be waning. Auburn's on the road at South Carolina, so that'd be a really big upset that would help Tennessee. But Auburn seems to be playing, I mean, they just play good basketball. They've settled.
Yeah,
in.
They're not like, you don't watch Auburn, I think, and say wow, but they just continue to find ways to win. I mean, they didn't look tremendous against Kentucky, but they were able to win by 10. They would just stay consistent. Have you checked? Let me just give a quick FPI update for tomorrow. 72.5% chance to go into Georgia and win for the Vols, which means if they were playing at home, they would be 91% favorites.
A virtual lock.
Virtual lock. So fear not, people. ESPN says we're a virtual lock. Speaking of FBI, have you seen the new or BPI? Have you seen the new FPI?
No, have not.
Oh, they've released FPI.
Is it good? Bad?
If you're a Tennessee
ugly
fan, probably not.
No. Well, here's the rest of the basketball list. We'll give you that FPI on the flip side. Texas at Arkansas, Florida at Vandy, and Ole Miss at Mississippi State, 8:30. Everybody seems to be in action over the weekend on Saturday this week. We'll talk a little college football when we come back right here on 3 and Out. This segment of the program is brought to you by Gold's Gym, the official gym of 3 and Out. There's 7 area locations, and also in Chattanooga down there. So if you're a big Mountain View Chevy fan, you can go work out at Gold's Gym in Chattanooga as well. And they got you covered in the Carolinas, Asheville, Anderson, Greenville, South Carolina. Make it happen at Gold's Gym, the official gym of 3 and Out.
As a member of Gold's Gym, you will enjoy access to the best coaches, personal trainers, and group exercise instructors in the business. That means access to motivating and knowledgeable experts dedicated to your success. Whatever your goal or experience level, the wide range of the fitness classes and offerings that Gold's can help you reach your goals. And you'll enjoy a supportive community of members who share the same aspirations of you, whether you're looking to lose weight, add some muscle mass, or just have a healthier lifestyle. Gold's Gym can make it happen.
They've taken over all the old gyms here in Knoxville, and they're all a little different. So get into your local one, download the 3-day VIP pass from the website, and then you can walk in, get a tour, and get to try out the different amenities at the different locations at Gold's Gym here in the Knoxville area. Houston, you've got the football numbers for us. Give me some good news about some Tennessee football, Jeremy Pruitt.
I don't have I don't know what numbers you're talking about. The FPI?
Yeah, the FPI.
I can't find them, but they're not good.
You had some wins and some losses numbers at least.
I mean, you can't find them, but they're not good.
I know they're not good, but I can't find the specifics. Apparently, according to the FPI, Tennessee's going, we're going 4-8 again.
Could be worse.
So I'm guessing maybe Kentucky is the lone SEC win this year. You probably beat ETSU, probably beat UTEP, Charleston, and then maybe you can beat Kentucky, maybe Vanderbilt. Maybe you could beat Vanderbilt and get the 5 according to the FPI. But it's not looking good. It's not looking good at all. Of course, they also had Tennessee win in like 9 last year, so maybe the FPI is just awful and the BPI is the only thing you should really be paying attention to.
It seems like if one works, the other should work too, though.
Okay. I mean, I think you get more data on the basketball side. Mm. I think there's fewer variables and more games. So you know. Typically, you rotate, 8 guys, 9 guys in basketball. I think it's a little bit more consistent, and you get a longer kind of sample there with so many games. Football, a lot of variables, a lot of injuries, you know.
Well, I have the rankings here for the SEC.
Oh, yeah?
So, Tennessee.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Tennessee,
oh, God.
This is actually better. This is actually better than that S&P breakdown from the SB Nation the other day.
Yeah.
Tennessee.
Yeah.
52nd in the country.
52.
That's our number.
In the world.
Yeah, in the world of college football.
We're the 52nd best team in the country.
Right.
But Butch Jones has done things around here that haven't been done in 20 years.
Yeah.
Like get us outside of the top 50, apparently.
Mm-hmm. Alabama's number 2.
52?
Alabama's 2.
Just 2.
Just the 2.
Okay.
Dropped
so
the
they're
5.
Better than us.
Yes.
Okay. Got it.
Any guesses for number 1, or do you already know this?
I already know that.
Clemson was number 1.
Seems pretty crazy that Clemson would be number 1, but maybe not. Bama just won a national championship. They bring back a lot. They typically kind of reload. This is why I look at the FPI and I'm like, "Really? Like you wouldn't just put Bama at number 1 just for your own sake to make it look like you know what you're doing? You're going to put Clemson, who they just shut out in a semifinal, that's who you're going to put at number? It just seems like a dumb decision. Did Georgia take a big fall? Because everyone seems to think that Georgia's going to be way worse this year.
No, your SEC East and SEC champion, Georgia Bulldogs, comes in at number 3.
So, okay, good. Okay, so the...
So 2 and 3 are on the schedule.
Fantastic.
Those are losses, I believe. I think we'll lose those two.
Yeah, those two are probably losses.
So we're up to 2 losses. We have no wins. We're 0-2 at the moment. Okay.
Yeah.
Number 7 is Auburn.
Tennessee luckily gets to go to Auburn this year. Very lucky scheduled draw there.
Okay, so that's
heaven forbid
that's
we get
3.
To go to like Arkansas or something this year, you know.
Yeah.
So we get Auburn in the plains,
mm-hmm.
on the plains.
That's 3.
Great. Yep.
Mississippi State is number 16.
Okay, that's sneaky high for Mississippi State.
That's got to assume that a Nick Fitzgerald just comes right back at 100% to start the year, right? Like 16th, really? Mississippi State?
I mean, quarterback play matters. So
I know.
Perhaps.
You saw it the way his leg went. Like,
okay, I didn't need to remember that. So
number
yeah.
20, Texas A&M.
It's just the ankle.
Well, we don't play them, so that's good. We're getting through a couple teams that we don't play.
That's true.
Okay.
Jimbo Fisher can have them in the top 20. I don't know. All right, maybe.
There's talent there. There's talent. Okay.
Number 22, Florida.
I buy it. I mean, with their talent, they're always going to be right around that mark, no matter how bad the coaching is. So I'll buy Florida at 22.
Where's that game this year?
Here. Hmm. Winnable. Winnable game for Tennessee, I think.
3.5. Okay.
Winnable game.
We're 0.5.
Jeremy Pruitt always shut down Mississippi State's offense while he was at Alabama.
Yep. Now Dan Mullen running that offense, Florida, we got it covered.
Just think if John Curry had actually let them have the game up here last year, and then we would have been going to Florida next year.
Nope.
We dodged some John Curry bullets a couple different times. Thank God.
All right, let's
number
rapid fire these.
Number 26, LSU.
Okay, don't care. Next.
Number 28, South Carolina.
Okay.
29, Missouri.
Okay.
How? But okay.
45, Ole Miss.
Ole Miss is ahead of us.
Yeah.
I guess that makes. No, they just lost. No, they're pretty good.
Tennessee at 52. Arkansas, Kentucky, and Vanderbilt are the 3 below Tennessee. Arkansas at 54. Kentucky at 56.
I know FPI hasn't been around that much.
Vanderbilt 76.
Is this the worst Tennessee team ever?
Yeah.
Going into the preseason?
Without a doubt.
This is the worst Tennessee team since when going into the season? Because even Dooley's last year, people thought that was like a 10-win team.
It's because you had that offense.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Butch's first year, were we this bad? Were we predicted to be this bad? That was a pretty bad team. Because everyone, you know, you lost Bray, you lost Hunter, you lost Patterson, you lost some running. Like, is this the worst offseason since, I mean, well, obviously last year. We knew last year would be bad. But nationally, people thought that was an 8 or 9 win team.
Oh, yeah. Listen to the people at the state-run station last year talk about how...
Going to turn it around. Going to shock the world and surprise some people. Like, what is shocking the world this year? 6-6?
Probably.
Bowl game.
That's shocking the world? That's where we are? Tennessee football after Butch Jones in 2018 is, hey, shock the world, make a bowl game? Reality check time. That the FPI is painful.
Butch Jones's first year, was that 2013?
Yes.
That was the year you opened with Austin Peay and Western Kentucky.
Yeah, and you won those two games and looked okay.
Easily, yeah.
Looked okay.
Because everybody thought Western Kentucky was going to have like an undefeated season that year.
Well, yeah, I thought they'd be tough.
And was it Dowdy that threw like 5 interceptions mm-hmm. in a row? I think they had 3 or 4 straight possessions with a turnover.
So that's the question. Would the 2013 team have been ranked worse than 52nd in the country? Coming off of the
I don't know, because there were people doing what they're doing already. Oh, well, Justin Worley was the Gatorade Player of the Year, and Marlon Lane was a 4-star running back. I mean, I think Jeremy Pruitt and this staff are better coaches, but I don't know about the talent level.
They went 1-7.
I don't want to oversell the talent on this team, because I just don't know.
I think this is the worst. That team went 1-7 in the league. They're 5-7 overall. Obviously, they were just one game better than Butch Jones's team. But I'm with you. I think people still thought, you know, that they weren't going to be that they'd be okay for a first year type of thing. I think they'd have been a little higher. They'd probably have been in the high 40s. Would be my guess.
Realistically, who can this Tennessee team beat on their schedule?
Okay.
Like,
are we just saying SEC, or do you want to talk about
the whole thing? Like, could this team beat West Virginia? Is it possible?
Yes, but
possible, not plausible.
But that's not one. I mean,
I'm just saying, like, is that a swing game, or is that would you chalk it up as a loss right now? They're 8-point favorites, according to.
I chalk it up as a loss right now.
They're going to beat ETSU. I think they're going to beat UTEP. Is Florida winnable at home?
No.
Toss-up or a loss? Toss-up or a loss?
I think it's a loss.
At Georgia, loss. At Auburn, loss. Alabama, loss. Is at South Carolina a loss or a toss-up?
Toss-up.
It was a pretty close game last year, right?
Toss-up, yeah.
It's always been kind of close, so.
So we've got 2 wins, a bunch of losses, and a toss-up.
No. Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, 2 wins, toss-up with South Carolina.
Charleston's a win.
That's 3.5.
We think you can beat Kentucky, maybe.
4.5.
Can you beat Missouri at home, maybe? Is that a winnable game?
Maybe just count half of that one with South Carolina, so now you're 5.
They got Derek Dooley now, so don't forget. They're gonna
know all the secrets.
They're going to do... No, they're not going to know any secrets.
In Neyland Stadium.
Okay, so is Missouri winnable at home?
Yes.
Is that Vanderbilt winnable? Is that a possible one?
That's your
6. Is Shermer back?
Right there. There's your 6.
6 what?
6 wins.
To go to a bowl game.
Vanderbilt.
Uh-huh. Missouri, Kentucky?
Missouri and South Carolina count only as 1 win.
Okay, so you're splitting those two.
Kentucky's a win. Charlotte's a win.
UTEP and ETSU.
And ETSU.
Okay.
I got them at 6-6.
So you think, like right now, you would predict 6-6 for this football team?
Yep. I would predict.
Without knowing who the quarterback is or who's starting on defense, you're just saying 6-6.
Maybe 5-7,
but
yeah.
I'm at 5-7 right now if you had to say, like, put money on it. What's the record going to
be? Well, the FBI agrees, right? If they've got them ahead of Vandy and Kentucky and Arkansas, I mean, the FBI thinks they're going to be 5-7 or 6-6.
Yeah.
One of those two. It will be, can you upset South Carolina or Missouri?
Oh, my God. That sentence just broke my heart. That sentence was the worst thing I've ever heard in conjunction with Tennessee football. Can you upset South Carolina or Missouri? Go to break. Wish that I was on a
final segment of Three and Out, driven by Toyota in Oxville. Appreciate you guys tuning in. If you missed any portion, you can always check out the podcast at foxsportsknoxville.com and make sure you subscribe on iTunes and get those delivered right to your device here. All the programming from Fox Sports Knoxville coming through iTunes. Yeah. Now I'm all depressed, Houston. I don't know, six and six, you said that would be shock the world. It's not.
I guess that's just legit. In a lot of these situations, like I think about, for example, the Bruce Pearl year, where Buzz Peterson's team, what did they go the year before? Like 18 and 12? Were they 18 and 12?
Find out.
Or something, and you know, a lot of people, if you'll recall, said, oh no, keep Buzz. A lot of people were saying that about Butch. Not as many late, but a lot of people during the season were saying, there's no way you can fire Butch Jones no matter how bad the season gets. Then he goes 4-8 and everybody wants him gone. But obviously, Pearl comes in the first year and says, wow, everyone's like, oh no, this guy's exciting and we're winning a bunch of games. Where'd they go? What did Buzz Peterson go?
14 and 17.
Holy bleep. Yeah, okay, never mind. He had to be fired. Okay, so that's good.
15-01, 15-16, 02, 17-12, 15-14, 14-17.
Okay. So there were actually... You brought Buzz back after one bad year. 2 years was not enough to save him, so you rolled the guy. Actually, kind of similar to Butch a little bit. So, but Pearl comes in, and you had talent on the roster, right? You had untapped talent on the roster that Bruce Pearl and his staff were able to elevate to a 2 seed. I think that's what you dream of when you get the new coach, right? Oh, well, he's going to get more out of this team than they even knew it. I don't even know what's possible for this team. Like, if everything went their way and this is the best coaching staff ever, what could this Tennessee team go? 8-4? 9-3? You're not beating Georgia. You're not beating Alabama. I don't think you're beating Auburn. Is it 9-3? Is that the pinnacle achievement for this team would be to go 9-3?
Yeah, I think
okay.
So
we are somewhere between, what, 4-8 and 9-3?
Mm-hmm.
That's our window for this team? All right.
What would a 2 seed in the NCAA tournament equate to
in football? Winning the East. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, that puts you in the top 8 nationally. If you win the East, you're top 8. I mean, you'd have to win the East. I don't want to say run away with it, but you'd probably only have to have losses. Like, if you lost to Alabama and Auburn and won the East, yeah.
10-2,
that would be the equivalent to what Bruce did in his first year.
Or based on the FBI, you lose to Alabama and Georgia, and you don't win the East, but they're like 2-3 in the country.
Okay, I'll buy that.
And you're 8th.
But, yeah,
right?
So you go 10-2, you don't win your division, you don't win your conference, but you're somehow right there at the top.
In the country.
And then in the meantime, some of these players that you thought were pretty good, like Ty Chandler, is damn near all American.
Jonathan Kongbo has
right
like
has a good
sacks.
Year. Yeah, you know, some of these guys that you know you're winning close games and you're taking care of business against, you know, like you beat Auburn somehow and you take care of business against the Missouri, Kentucky, South Carolinas, and Vanderbilts of the world.
Yeah, you upset Florida and Auburn. One at home, one on the road.
So there's the dream.
And you know, Bruce Pearl opened against ETSU. So just say.
Is that true?
Yeah.
It's a sign.
I think that's true. I don't know. I went to a game. Pretty sure it was ETSU. I think that was his opener.
That's fair. Also, we mentioned this yesterday. I think this is actually a much bigger note, Davey, than we gave it credit for yesterday. Joe Osave,
yeah,
hired offensive analyst for Jeremy Pruitt. We did not know a ton about him yesterday. The news was, well, new. But at Nassau Community College and ASA College in Brooklyn, Osave has been head coach. He's been an offensive coordinator and apparently interviewed with Tennessee for the wide receiver coach position. Pruitt was in Alabama at the time and did not get to meet with him. The entire staff loved him. Pruitt obviously decided to go a different direction at wide receivers coach, but promised Osave that we will work together, we will coach together someday. That day, officially, either yesterday or the day before, he has been hired as an offensive analyst at UT. It appears Jeremy Pruitt is setting up kind of the pecking order on this staff for if, you know, Tyson Helton isn't here for a long period of time. You've got a Chris Winkie. You've got an Osave, guys that you can move up the ladder in those situations. I mean, we remember Sarkisian went from offensive analyst to offensive coordinator for Alabama in the national championship game. It can happen that quickly. Jeremy Pruitt putting some pretty good coaches with him. I did not realize Osave, one of the founders, if you will, of the RPO, and not necessarily the quarterback RPO, but shotgun, or am I going to hand it off? Oh, the linebackers have crashed. There's the tight end over the middle, or the dig to the slot receiver. A guy who likes to put a lot of stress on defense. We know that when the RPO was first introduced, that the Alabamas, the Georgia, those really good defensive teams struggled with that because it does put so much pressure on your technique and on your defensive kind of strategy. It appears Jeremy Pruitt's kind of saying, hey, to your point, Nate, we want to be a pain in the ass on offense, so let's get some guys in here who can do some things with maybe a little bit lesser talent so we can be difficult to defend against some of these really good teams that we're going to face, and then hopefully put up points against teams like West Virginia, like Missouri, so on and so forth.
Bruce Pearl beat Texas on the road, number 6 in the country, just like right out of the gate.
Yeah, I know. I was watching that. That was a good one. That would be the Auburn win this year, right? Or would that be the West Virginia? Neutral site, just go beat West Virginia.
Yeah, that might be the
West. Be a top 25 team.
And then Florida, number 2 in the country, January 21st. That'd be like
Bama.
Beating
Georgia, Bama.
It would be like winning.
Yeah, I know.
Like Bruce Pearl won that. Like,
I
think
know.
About it in football terms. Bruce Pearl beat Alabama or Georgia his first year out of the gate.
With a team that was sub-500 the year before.
Insane. I mean, it's a different sport, but...
And he had been a head coach before.
I wonder... I just...
Is it even possible in football? Basketball, you hit shots, you can beat anybody on a given night. Can you even do that in football? Is it even possible to have that type of a season in football? Like, who was... Like a Washington under Chris Peterson? Was that year 2, though?
I think it is with places that recruit at this level. Like, we've seen Notre Dame do that kind of crap.
Yeah, but do we...
You have to
get
a little
lucky
that
Butch Jones recruited at that level?
I don't know. Maybe not. You have to get a little lucky,
like,
too, with the schedule.
Face value, yes, but as you deep dive the numbers and the talent, is it really there?
You got to get a little lucky with the schedule, too. Like Georgia just plays an awful game and you beat them. And then, like, Auburn's season, Stidham gets hurt, and so they melt down, and you beat them, too. And all of a sudden, you're like, holy crap, this season's...
Yeah, yeah.
So,
in fairness, that did not happen to Bruce Pearl. He did it straight up both times.
It's incredible.
Well, really 3 times, because they beat Florida the next time at Florida.
On the road.
Insane. That'd be winning the SEC championship against the Bama team you already beat.
We thought we'd leave you out on a high note as you go into your weekend.
Jeremy Pruitt's Bruce Pearl, Vols to the SEC championship.
Enjoy it. Hey, at least the basketball team's got
it
rolling.
Have a good weekend.
Tennessee at Georgia tomorrow. Voluntary action will get started around 8 o'clock. As soon as that one's over. Talk Sports is next. Keep it right here on Fox Sports Knoxville. Have a great weekend. It's Fan Run Radio.